Ted Seaman. Today we have another in a series of interviews with the teams that are planning on competing in this year's second annual Space Elevator Games. These games, part of NASA's Centennial Challenge, will be held in Las Cruces, New Mexico on October 20th and 21st. For more information about the competition, visit their official website, www.elevator2010.org. Today we are talking with Brian Turner, team leader for team number 173, the Kansas City Space Pirates. The Space Pirates are one of 20 teams competing in this year's Climber Power Beaming event and are one of this year's first-time entrants. Hello, Brian, and welcome to the Space Elevator blog.
Hello.
I'm curious about your team flag. Who came up with the idea?
I did that. I mean, of course, it's reminiscent of the old Jolly Roger, the skull and crossbones. That just popped into my head one day, and I said, hey, I wonder if it'll look right, and I messed with it for a while, and it came out looking pretty good.
The crossed swords underneath, those are searchlight beams, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It took a while before people realized, before I had to revise it a few times to get those to look like searchlights.
It's a nice job. I like the logo.
Good, thanks.
On your website, you state your belief that, in the long run, a thermal engine will work the best. You have a quote backing that up on there, talking about photovoltaic versus thermal. Can you tell me why you're such a fan of thermal engines, and then why you also had to abandon that idea for this year's race?
My thermal engine I was developing, it was running on a pace that was going to take about 3 years to finish. And I realized that, you know, that's just not going to be workable for the competition. And the photovoltaics I'm using now, I'm not so sure thermal engines are going to be able to pull ahead in the future. The theoretical efficiency on thermal engines is well above what we're getting out of photovoltaics right now. Maybe photovoltaics will be able to change that in the future. But even the actual efficiencies of the thermal, there's a solar dish concentrator, I believe, it's out in New Mexico or California that's running at 30% efficiency, or they did during their test periods. And we may see mass deployments of that. So I think that thermal engines have a lot of space in the category. I don't think that people in general realize how effective they are. And so, you know, that's why I was a big fan of doing thermal for this. And I had a unique idea for an engine, and just the developing cycles of it was taking way too long. I had to come up with a light that would power it. And when I finally came up with the light, I started looking at how that would work matched up with solar cells. And I realized I'd do better with solar cells in this light than I would with the thermal engine in this light. You know, I said, let's switch to electric.
So that's your plan for this competition?
Uh-huh.
This is your team's first year in competition, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there were a couple teams last year that attempted to use Stirling engines. There's a couple more this year that are going to try that out, too. I guess you'll have an opportunity to see how somebody else is tackling the problem.
Oh, yeah, and of course, I'm real interested to see that.
How are you testing your climber? What kind of test setup do you have?
We're going to be using a treadmill. We're currently building the treadmill now. I've been doing lots of mathematical simulations, but I haven't actually ran any live tests with the climber. I discovered as I was building the thermal engine that the light is actually more important than the climber. By the time you get to the mechanical design of the climber and the ribbon, that's something that really would benefit from multiple renditions, but it's relatively easy compared to getting the light there and converting light into electricity.
Is your treadmill horizontal or vertical?
Vertical. To restrain the climber with springs so it can't get out of control, but then it'll climb on the treadmill. Because as it's been pointed out before, a 200-foot tall ribbon is a real hard thing to come by.
The games were originally scheduled in August, and then they were postponed to the 20th and 21st of October. Was that a good thing for you? Some people have liked it. Some people have said that it's been a problem because it's interfered with our school schedule or whatever.
Well, it's a great thing for me. The teams that were there last year, they effectively had a 10-month head start on me. When I had to give up and abandon the thermal engine, if I'd only had until the original contest date to finish, I would have been out at that point. So the later date has been quite a boon for me. And plus, I prefer the location, too. It's on an airport as opposed to a college campus. I'm more familiar with airports and out in the wide open spaces as opposed to in a metropolitan area.
So you think that you'll have a climber that'll actually make it off of the launch pad this year? I mean, some teams last year didn't even get that far.
Well, that was part of my inspiration. As I looked at the results of last year's competition, that was the first I'd heard of it, was in the press that they got over the competition. I watched, took a look at the other climbers, and that was my inspiration, saying, gosh, if they knew what the minimum bar was and they could have hit it, I think that I ought to be able to do that. And I discovered since then that there's good reasons why they didn't hit that.
It's never as easy as it looks.
Yeah, not the least of which being that the light that they had just wasn't powerful enough. Regardless of what kind of climber setup they had, the light that was provided wouldn't have had enough oomph to get anybody at the top of the ribbon, let alone in the time limit.
What made you decide to participate in the Space Elevator Games? Just reading that and saying that you could do better, or are you a space junkie, or you know, what made you decide to get in?
I do robotics as a hobby. I took it up as a hobby several years ago because my day job is a computer consultant, and I got too tired of computers running my life day and night. So I said, I got to get a hobby that's not quite computers, so I got into robotics. I look at this as a robot climbing the ribbon. So it dovetails nicely with what I wanted to be learning and what I wanted to be working on. I'm also involved in the Kansas City Robotics Club, and I talked to some of the other people there, and that's been a source for many of my team members.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Kansas City Robotics Club? You do mention them on the website, that they were your inspiration for, or maybe not the inspiration, but certainly has something to do with you getting involved with this.
Yeah, as I looked at the skills needed to pull this off, I realized that, you know, almost every skill that was needed that I didn't have was available within the club members. It's a group of robotics hobbyists, and we get together once a month. It's not a very large or fancy affair. We do some volunteer work for kids and demonstrate robotics, and we have an annual competition. So it's been a lot of fun being part of the club. If I hadn't had the club and said, okay, I know these guys can take care of the soldering and the programming if it gets, you know, beyond what I can handle, I'm not sure I would have gone for it. And, you know, I talked with the club before I decided to enter the competition. And I do have a couple, two or three members from the club. Most of the rest of my members are family. It's turning into quite the family affair. I was amazed at how wonderful it would be to have them say, oh, yeah, you need some shop lights? Yeah, borrow mine, and routers and tools and on and on. Just in the support that they give me has been really great.
Well, your team membership is a little bit different than many of the others that I've talked to. Most of them are college students doing it, not for college credit necessarily, but as part of a college project or something, and you seem to be coming at it from a completely different background, which is great.
Yeah, I'm a self-taught person, and the fact that this competition was open to non-college participants I thought was great, because earlier in my life I wanted to race solar cars, and when it comes right down to it, if you're not part of a college team, or part of a big corporation, you're not going to be in the solar car racing hobby. So I was, you know, always disappointed that a number of the competitions like this I wanted to participate in were limited to collegiate entries. So the fact that this one's not limited to collegiate, I think, is great. And I hope they continue to do that. I don't mind competing against the colleges. I'm jealous of some of the resources that they have, of course, but I just like being able to compete. One of my inspirations is Crowder College here in Missouri. They had a solar car that competed in Australia. That was back, of course, when I was college age.
So you said that your day job is a computer consultant, and that you're also a member of the Kansas City Robotics Club. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, my family used to build ultralight aircraft, hang gliders, motorized hang gliders. They were back when the field was just first developing. It was the family business, was building ultralights. Now, that's part of where I got my experience, and they're, of course, built in a very minimalistic fashion, and I understood the strength of materials, and I'd been studying that, and, of course, I'm talking to my dad and brother, who were real involved in all that a lot about this stuff. So that's been a real help to me. So between that and my robotics hobby and the fact that, you know, my team members are bringing the rest of the skills in, we're in pretty good shape. As far as that's concerned, I wish I had people around to do fundraising and find sponsors and handle all the paperwork. That's where I'm starving for help.
Can you tell us anything about some of your teammates?
My mom's an A&P mechanic. She used to work for the airlines inspecting 747. Her husband's helping at Sinclair. He's a farmer, and so he's got lots and lots of wrenching skills, and he can weld better than any of us. And then I've got people who are mathematicians and programmers from the Robotics Club. Of course, different robotics hobbyists. They've got lots of little circuits and boards and such. So I've got Terry. He's president of the Robotics Club. He's on my team. Some of the other members from the club are Steve and Ben, and they're there and bouncing ideas off of them. Oh, and I'm skipping Rich. Rich is from BattleBots. That's where he's a robotics hobbyist, and he was doing BattleBots years ago, and so he's excited to have a competition again that they can get into.
BattleBots is a fun show.
Oh, yeah. I really, that was one of my inspirations. Is, you know, that's a hobby I could get into. And so that's one of the reasons I picked robotics as a hobby many years ago.
So who's all going to the competition? Just yourself? Are you bringing anybody else along?
There's going to be at least five of us.
Oh, wow.
Six. Yeah, it's like, I was asking how many people are going to take off 2 weeks and do this. And I had one guy, you know, right away, Rich says, right away, you'll take off 2 weeks. And then they changed it to 1 week, which helped me out a lot. So now I think I'm going to have five, six people at the competition. I'm excited about that, too. I was worried that I'd have problems with all the equipment.
But when you say 1 week, are you going to be out there then a few days early?
Yeah. I hope to be out there the first, like, Saturday before the competition and start getting set up, because there's plenty of setup work I'm going to have to be doing before I do the actual climb. I'd like to also get the lay of the land and be familiar with where we're at.
So any other thoughts you want to share with us about robotics or NASA or space elevators or anything else?
I don't think the competition is going to be close. I think there's going to be a big spread between first and second. I've also heard people talking about, you know, climbing fast. And the way the rules are structured, I think most of your winning climbers are going to be climbing just under the 60-second limit, carrying as much weight as possible, which is a little disappointing because from the crowd's point of view, they're all going to appear to be going about the same speed. So I think there's going to be a big spread between first and second. That's one of my predictions. And I also think that we're not going to see half the teams qualify. So I think we're going to be below nine teams, probably well below nine teams for the qualifying run.
You might well be right. Your prediction will be tested soon.
Yeah, soon enough, I suppose. I hope carbon nanotubes come together to make the space elevator possible. I think the climber is something NASA wants to have ideas on the books for, but I think the real idea they're hoping to get the breakthroughs in is in the ribbon itself. Oh, and another thing I'd like to mention is, as I read on all the space elevator blogs and discussion forums and such, is there's an excessive emphasis on efficiency versus power to weight.
You had mentioned, actually, your quote, and let me just read it here. Photovoltaic is the benchmark for beamed power, light to electricity to motion. We are taking a shortcut, light to motion. Light is a kind of heat, and infrared heat is a kind of light. It is a matter of semantics. But don't be fooled by efficiency debates. A climber needs maximum power to weight, specific power. Efficiency is secondary. I believe that with today's materials, and especially tomorrow's, thermal engines can outperform their electric counterparts. That's a bold statement.
Yeah, well, if we're saying carbon nanotubes are going to be necessary to make the space elevator possible, carbon nanotubes make thermal engines much more possible. And so if we accept as fact the strength that carbon nanotubes need for the space elevator, then thermal engines are going to perform 3 to 4 times better than they can today in the world of, in the range of specific power. So that's one of the reasons I'm so up on thermal engines. Like, you know, yeah, if we're making them out of steel just like car engines today, they've got a specific power problem. But if we can employ the strength of carbon nanotubes, then we could see a 3 to 4-fold increase in specific power out of them. And it's like, I think that makes it pretty competitive with photovoltaics.
Just to follow up on that a bit, do you mean because carbon nanotubes would weigh less than steel, or somehow they would make the climber more efficient? I'm not sure I understand you.
They'd make a thermal engine lighter if you can employ them in the structure.
I see.
As cylinder walls. And if you had cylinder walls from carbon nanotubes, you could skip the rest of the block. As just an example, there's a number of ways that the higher strength of materials can make for lighter structures in the world of engines. Now then we have some heat issues to deal with, and those aren't any trivial issues. But when you consider the fact that engines also live off of a specific strength of the parts that make them up, and the specific strength of carbon nanotubes is, I don't have it off the top of my head, but an order of magnitude stronger than steel. I think that the performance that we see out of them will be, perhaps if not an order of magnitude, like I said, at least 4 or 5 times what we can see out of thermal engines today.
So you're going to go back to work on your project tonight?
Yep, I got to polish some aluminum tonight. Real exciting stuff.
Yeah, what do you do on a Friday night? I'm polishing aluminum.
So. Yeah, I started emailing teammates, you know, what's the work schedule? It's like every weekend here, on out. Like in most evenings, we're going to be hitting it hard and heavy. And all the big money spent, so, you know, can't back out now.
Well, Brian, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with us today.
Okay.
I wish you and your team the best of luck this year, and I'm looking forward to meeting you and your teammates at the competition. And for all of you listening out there, please be sure to visit the Kansas City Space Pirates website at www.kcspacepirates.com. You can visit us at the Space Elevator blog at www.spaceelevatorblog.com, where you can get the latest space elevator news. So long, everybody.